From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Friday, April 25th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gwyneth Chi, Shawa, Toeksik Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us in the studio behind the scenes on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, the musical Anastasia, based on the beloved film, is playing at the high school this weekend and next. We chat with a few of the student actors about the production and their experience working on it. Jen and Katrina from Juno Libraries are here with some spring book recommendations and upcoming events. And we look ahead to spring and summer events with the Juno Parks and Recreation Department. Those conversations, music, and more coming up on Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from Tlingit Ani and the homelands of the Occoquan. The specific area where our building sits is the ancestral home of the Clanadi, or Dog Salmon people, of the Occoquan. We acknowledge those families of the Clanadi who made use of this land and waterway for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Gwyneth Chi. Also, one announcement before we move on. Remember that event we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Superhero Walk? Well, it was really terrible weather and they had to cancel it, and they have rescheduled it for tomorrow. So that is the Safe Child Advocacy Center. They're partnering with Juno Animal Rescue, as well as their other multidisciplinary partners, AWARE, Alaska State Troopers, and more. Because April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, as well as Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, they will be handing out information and activities that you can take home and discuss. This is the first annual superhero walk. It's at the Airport Dyke Trail. It's tomorrow, and it is from 10 to noon. And I think they're handing out capes and stuff to the kiddos, so that's kind of cool. For more information, you can call 907-463-6157 or email safecac@ccsjuno.org. That's a little Once Upon a December from Anastasia, the Broadway cast recording. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages. Tonight and running through Sunday, May 4th, is the musical Anastasia, which we were just listening to a little bit. A musical based on the popular animated movie from the late 90s. It's being produced by the Juno Douglas High School Yada'a Kathle Theater Department, and I'm joined now in studio by three of the students in this production. I have Cadence Carson playing Anya. Gwyneth Chi, Swasiyati. How are you, Cadence?
I'm great.
Excellent. Good to see you here. And I have Jeremiah Helms, who's playing Dimitri. Gwyneth Chi, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent.
Awesome. And then I have Loki Kinnaman. Did I get it right?
Kinnaman.
Loki Kinnaman, who's playing Vlad. Gwyneth Chi, how are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to have you all here in the studio. This is really fun. So who wants to... I'm assuming that Anya is the... Is that Anastasia? Is that her name, her shorter version of her name, Anya?
It's what she goes by at the beginning when she doesn't realize she's Anastasia.
Ah, I see. So, okay, you're going to be the perfect one to tell us. For those who haven't seen the film, I think it was a 1997 film, so it's almost whatever that is, however many years, 20 years, 30 years. However many years it is. Tell us what the story is of Anastasia the musical.
Well, it's this orphan girl who is trying to find her way to Paris to hopefully find someone, find her family. And she comes across Vlad and Dmitri on her way, and they tell her that she can be this princess, and they teach her how to do all these things, and hopefully they make their way to Paris, and then she finds out that she is Anastasia.
And who is Anastasia?
Anastasia is the princess of Russia.
I see. Yeah. So she doesn't know that she's the princess.
No, she has amnesia.
Ah, why does she have amnesia?
Well, her whole family was killed at the beginning of the musical.
Okay.
And she was so little that just all this trauma just gave her
blocked
amnesia.
It out, maybe? Yeah. Yeah. So she was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's kind of interesting. And so from Anya's point of view, who are these yahoos over here, Dmitri and Vlad?
They're just con artists. They meet on the street. Yeah.
Is that right? They're con artists?
Yeah,
we are fully basically. Con artists, yeah.
Okay. Well,
Vlad
Loki,
more than Dmitri, but...
All right, Vlad, definitely. Why are you a con artist?
But money.
He would... Oh, God. Thankfully, we cut one of these songs out so it wouldn't be, like, fully embarrassing for me, but... What Vlad would do, he would basically, I'm going to say this on air, he would basically, oh God, what is a word for this?
Manipulate?
Yeah, he would manipulate rich women that were married so he would get gifts like a diamond ring, and then he would bail on them.
Ah, you're one of those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those are tricksters for sure.
Most definitely.
And what about Dmitri?
So Dmitri is a much better person than Vlad because he's also an orphan. His father was an anarchist, so he was severely punished when the communist revolution came by. And he, in one of the songs, My Petersburg, he grew up on the sly. He didn't have many family. He was... barely getting scraps of food. He was surviving. And that led him to become this con artist with a heart of gold.
A con artist with a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's I think that is sounds better than Vlad, even though he's still a con artist. I like that. Okay. And I know, I think the musical, which I think premiered like in 2017 on Broadway, and it had like six of the songs from the movie, which mm-hmm. people might remember the movie and those songs. But then there's like another bunch of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying you cut one of the songs out. Are you doing all of the musical, or are there some songs that you've taken out?
That's the only one we took out because honestly, it's not very appropriate.
It was Vlad and Lily basically talking about
their affair.
Yeah.
Lily is the
adult themes.
Is a countess.
Yes.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, and Countess Malevesky Malevich, yeah.
I got you. But other than that, it's the full musical,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And you open tonight?
Yes.
Yes, we open tonight.
In about 3 hours, actually.
In about 3 hours.
Four. Yes.
4 hours. 4 hours.
Wow,
that's
3
great.
Hours and 45 minutes.
So if you're listening to this on the re-air tonight on KTOO, they're on stage right now, literally. But you have until May 2nd to see this production. There's some interesting times, though, adjustments that are happening
May
in this.
So...
It's, May 4th, excuse me. Did I say May 2nd? I meant May 4th. Yeah. May the 4th be with you. So it opens tonight, and it runs tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then it also runs next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but on certain days, you can check this on the website, right? You can probably, what's the best place to find out information and to get tickets, by the way?
Ooh.
Is it? Do you guys have a Facebook? Does the JDHS Theater Department?
Cast has been posting the poster, but yeah. Really the only edit that would be made is there is no evening show on May 3rd due to prom.
Yeah.
Oh, there's prom. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that.
But the matinee is still happening that day.
Yeah, matinee is happening. Okay. But evening show is not.
Because on Saturdays you do 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, except mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. that May 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay, so tomorrow you're going to do 2 shows.
Yep.
Boy,
yep.
The 2 show days. Do you do that? On Sunday you just do a matinee. Okay. Yeah. So you can get all that information. I think it's all on Facebook. There's an event on Facebook that you can search. Mm-hmm. Search Anastasia the Musical at JDHS, and you'll find the posters there and with all the information and pictures of these three leading characters, actually. So, Cadence... you're playing the lead in this. How do you find that experience? How's it been going?
It's been a little stressful.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I have never. Okay, so basically, this is my first play that I've done.
Okay.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. I've been like stage crew in like a couple other performances,
okay.
But I've never actually been on stage before.
So how did you get talked into doing this situation?
Well, I love musicals, and I've always wanted to be in one, and my mom kind of convinced me to audition.
I see.
Yeah, and I kind of auditioned searching for anything. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a background character. You know, this is going to be fun.
So you were pretty shocked, I bet.
Yeah.
Are you? Were you, like, public with your singing ability? Are you in, like, choir
Absolutely
or anything?
Not, no.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you finding a new love here? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've took, like, choir classes before, but I've never, like, performed in front of people before.
So tonight is your debut.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. You're going to be a little nervous, but you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's okay if you throw up before the show starts.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
I already have.
Just try not to do it during.
A lot of people do that. I've done that before, too, for sure. Every day before I do this show, I always think about throwing up. So it's all good. We've all been there. You're going to be fine. You're going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think you'll do this again?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
What year are you in school?
I'm a junior right now.
You're a junior. So next year maybe you'll be in another play?
Hopefully.
And do you like musicals, or do you enjoy, do you want to think about doing a play?
I definitely love musicals. I always wanted to be more into musicals than plays.
I see, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to go to a performing arts school for a long time.
Oh, I see. So this has been in you.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I see, okay, that's pretty cool. And what are you thinking about doing after high school? Do we know yet?
I do. I'm going to be a registered CNA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm going to take my classes up in Anchorage.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. And Jeremiah, Dimitri, what year are you?
I am a sophomore.
You're a sophomore. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're like me. You're a big boy for a sophomore. I was 6'4" in 8th grade.
Oh,
my. Yeah. So it was. Yeah. So I understand.
Only 6'1".
I've been there. I've been there, my brother. So how did you get involved in theater?
So this is not my first time being in theater.
Ain't my first rodeo.
Technically, here's the thing. It was 8 years ago.
Oh, 8 years ago.
An 8-year gap between shows. I was background characters at like 8 years old, and now when I come back 8 years later, I get male lead. So it's been something.
Yeah. How are you finding the experience?
It's really stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful. Do you guys know all your words and everything? Are you fully ready on that?
Yeah. But the big thing for me is They know. It's this one song.
We know. Yeah. It's...
Does it have some notes in there?
It's got a really, really high note at the very end.
He has it. He just has to get in, like, the right mindset.
I have it. I just have to get it loud enough, because right now it's really weak.
Right. I understand. I never did. Here's a story I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah, so you're going to feel good about this. So I was in a show called Carousel, which is a show that I did in high school, right? I never had been in a musical before. And I played a character called the Heavenly Friend, who doesn't speak, who doesn't sing, right? And then the other musical they cast me in was Once Upon a Mattress, which was is a musical based on Princess and the Pea, if you've ever heard that story. Mm-hmm. And I played King Sextimus, who was a mute. So I didn't get to sing at all. I just had to do hand gestures the whole time, because there was a time I was in the carousel and I was underneath one of the microphones and the music director said, hey, back off, back up, in the back with you. Because I don't sing, except at karaoke. So I'm sure you can do it. There's a confidence, right? You just have to like go for it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? You just got to go for it.
It's that one song. Every other song sounds great. It's okay. Like that much. I rediscovered my voice during when I joined, because I was like, hey, I can sing. And now, I can sing.
All right.
Like, you know what I mean? Because I realized I've been singing in this like really deep singing tone for a really long time. Mm. And then I realized I can sing with my natural voice and be a lot higher, have a lot more range.
Your own voice, yeah. Because we think we have to perform when really it's just it's you singing a song, right? It's you up on as the character. That's kind of cool. And then Loki, tell me a little bit about what year are you?
I am a freshman.
You're a freshman, okay.
Yep.
And are you a veteran?
No.
Is this your first play?
Yeah. I did backstage for last semester's play. This is all new to me.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Awesome. And how are you finding the experience?
Really fun, chaotic at times, also stressful, but it's been a lot of fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. I bet. It can be stressful. You know what's always the hardest part is before you actually get to opening night. Once you get to opening and then you hear the crowd's reaction and they're there, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. There's always the anxiety of the performance, right?
Yeah.
But then you realize, this is just, you're just supposed to be having fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be fun. And you're telling the story. You're sharing that story with the audience, right? And they're just there to be there and listen to your storytelling. And they're not going to judge you. You know, they're not judging you. They're just enjoying the story. So that's kind of cool. And how many people in the musical total?
Like nine?
Including, I'm actually going to count. So
we don't have a lot of people, so making this happen was quite difficult.
Yeah.
We have nine people in the actual cast, and then we have three on tech crew.
Okay, but you got V as your director, and I know V, and she's awesome.
She's amazing. V's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. V is directing it, and then, of course, Bo's handling all the set, lighting, and technical direction.
Bo's done a lovely job with this
Bo's
set.
Yeah, Bo's amazing.
He's made it look aged. It's absolutely beautiful.
That's really cool. Well, this is a lot of fun. This is Anastasia the Musical. It's based on the 1997 animated film. And it is going to be running starting tonight. They all got to go because they got to get back to school and get ready. It is going to be performing all the way through May 4th, this weekend and next weekend. And there is an event page on Facebook, and I'm sure if you just search Anastasia. Does the theater department have a website or no? You're all brand new, so you don't know, maybe.
We have an official Instagram.
Okay, what's that?
I think it's JDHS Drama.
Okay, yeah. JDHS Drama.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the best place to go to keep up to date on future shows. And, I say break a leg. You're going to have a great time. Mm-hmm. I love that some of this is you're returning, Jeremiah. Cadence, it's your first show on stage. You've done other stuff.
Yeah.
And Loki, you're a freshman, and this is your first show in high school.
A youngin.
I'm imagining you're only a sophomore. You're all going to be back here with other shows in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that you're doing this. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Gunnath Cheese for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, up next, it's the Thlinkit Word of the Week, and we'll be back to talk with the Juneau Public Libraries after this.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinok John Martin. And the word this week is tlach.
Tlach.
That means red cedar. And here is a sentence.
Kutia. Kutia on the sich. Yes. Tlach.
They made totem poles with red cedar. Let's hear it again.
Tlach.
Red cedar. Gunashchish to Chene Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinok John Martin was Takdain Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to KTOO. I'm Mike Lane. Today is Friday, April 25th, and on this day, more than 100 years ago, in 1915, 32 bales of tobacco, each weighing 175 pounds, were expected to arrive in Juneau. The tobacco bales were ordered by the newly opened Alaska Havana Cigar Company. Now you know. This is KTOO.
And you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO, and that was Mike Lane, who you can catch every morning, Monday through Friday, on Morning Edition. Hi. Trying to figure out where my brain is right now. Spring is here and activities abound at the Juneau libraries, and perhaps it's also time to start thinking about our summer beach reads or whatever kind of reading list you keep. I'm joined now by Jen Gardner and Katrina Wolford from the Juneau Public Libraries. Gunath Cheesh, how are you both today? Wasiti. Hi, Jen. Oh, we got to turn up your microphones. I was so distracted by our high school guests. They were awesome. They were so good. They were really good. But I'm thinking about them, and I'm wishing them well on their performance tonight. So, hi, Jen. Good to see you.
Hi. Good to see you,
and Katrina Wasiti, how are you?
I'm fine, Boston. It's good to see you.
Excellent. Excellent. So, let's see. Where should we start?
I think we should start with summer reading because it is hard to believe that it is just around the corner, especially with this weather outside. But we are just weeks away from the start of summer reading. May 24th is our official start date. And we are changing things up a little bit this year. It's going to be for all ages. So one game, all ages. And it's going to include both reading challenges and then also activities. And you can choose your own activity to complete. So it's things like playing a game with a family member or a friend, read something you wouldn't usually pick out, ask a family member or elder to tell you a story. So you'll get to pick from a whole list of activities.
Can I see that?
Absolutely. We've got these full-sized games that are going to be available, as well as a miniature pocket-sized version.
Oh, that's so cool.
And they will be available at all three of our libraries. Again, the start date is May 24th. And then also there will be a digital copy online for anyone who prefers to do the digital version.
And this is something that any age can do.
Any age. So we're encouraging adults, kids, families can do it together. So it really is designed for anyone to be able to pick up and engage with. And there's options in terms of whether you want to read for a set amount of time or read an entire book. So depending on whether you're reading picture books or chapter books, just depending on whether it's a better fit for you to be measuring your reading progress in increments of time or in entire books, you can kind of tailor it to meet your need there.
And this is something that you keep track of yourself?
Yeah, so you take the game home with you, or you can complete it online. And as you read, you check off the reading circles on the game. And as you complete activities, you check off the stars. And once your game is complete, you bring the completed game back to the library, and you'll be entered into a prize drawing. And for kids, every time you complete a game, you also get a book prize to go home with as
well.
Wow,
that's kind of cool. What a great way to encourage reading. This might even get me to do it.
Fabulous. Yeah, we have tried it out with a few of our staff members, and it's been a big hit at home, both with their kids and with adults.
Well, everything is so gamified these days, you know? So having a game around it, or having something, a goal to reach, because how many stars are on the board, is it?
There are 3 stars on the board, and okay. You can do as many games as you want. So you could go through and do all of the activities if you wanted to,
or you can just
do one game and leave it at those 3 activities.
And I'm just going to read some of these because I think they're interesting. So take a book on an outdoor adventure. That's a good one. Create a piece of art inspired by what you read. That's really good. This is for those who get stuck in things. Read something you wouldn't usually pick. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. Read a poem and then write your own. Attend a library program or event, which is good. Visit the Friends of the Library bookstore. That's my favorite place to go. That place is awesome. Or otherwise known as the Amazing Bookstore, right?
Exactly.
The Friends of the Library Amazing Bookstore. That's really cool. What a wonderful activity. And this begins, when does it begin?
That begins May 24th. So we'll be starting to get all of our supplies ready at each location shortly. And then May 24th is our official start date.
That's the launch. Do you have an event around the launch or anything?
We have a lot of events coming up. We don't have a specific kickoff event, but we do have quite a few summer reading events on our calendar coming up.
So definitely
check that out. And I do have a bunch of events to talk about.
Awesome.
As well.
Good. Yeah. And of course, you can find everything we're talking about at juno.org/library. And that's where you can do it online, too, if you don't want to have one of these.
Yep.
Right?
If you just go to our programs page, there's a summer reading drop down, and you'll be able to find a digital submission as well as a printable version of the game.
Okay. Is this a mock-up, or can I keep this?
You can keep that.
Yay. Okay. So what are some of the events that are coming up?
Yeah. So this weekend is a pretty full weekend at the library. We have the last Baby Raven Reads of the season at the downtown library tomorrow. So that's Saturday the 26th at 11 a.m. downtown. They'll be reading Raven and the Hidden Halibut. And this is for all families with children up to age 5. So it will be the last one for a while. So if you've been meaning to check out this event, it's a really special program.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow will be the last one for a
while.
Love
Baby Raven Reads.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then there's also Drop-In Chess tomorrow, the 26th. With Alaska Chess Club from 1 to 3 in the Valley. So drop-in chess is a chance to kind of learn the rules, practice playing, and play with other folks. It's not a competition, but just a fun chance to play with others.
Good to hang out and learn
Absolutely.
How to do it. Yeah, cool.
And then on Sunday, the 27th, we have Game Day with Platypus Games. This is a recurring event. And that is going to be at 1 p.m. Sunday in the Valley Library. And then this is jumping ahead a little bit, but in May, we are going to be starting a series of small group sessions for library technology support.
Cool.
So this came out of, we had an event, a senior and elder tech event that was very popular. And so now we're opening up some small group sessions for everybody to come and learn about specifically library technology. So how to use our printing stations, apps for digital resources like Libby, Hoopla, Canopy, how to use our Wi-Fi, how to print from your own device.
Do you still teach the Dewey Decimal System?
We answer questions about the Dewey Decimal System as needed.
Is it not in place anymore?
Well, it is in place. So in our nonfiction section, this is quite the segue, but in our nonfiction section, we do file books based on the Dewey Decimal System. And so if people need help finding books in the nonfiction section, we can show people how to search for that in our catalog and where to find it in the library. It's not really a system that we have official classes on for people to learn, but it's certainly something that comes up. People want to know what section you can find the animals in or right. whatever other subject.
I feel like I aged myself like I haven't been in a library since I was a kid, but I have.
I have been in the library. It still exists in most libraries.
Okay, good.
But yeah, we won't be going over Dewey Decimal System specifically at these tech support sessions unless somebody really wants to know.
Unless I'm there.
But do bring your questions about library technology yeah. and your device.
This really, what I love is the Libby, like the Libby app absolutely. And all that stuff you can do online now, which is amazing what you can do
there's
now in terms of checking out books or even getting books
resources.
On your phone. And,
yeah, absolutely.
It's kinda cool.
No,
yeah.
I've been a big fan of the audiobooks through Libby yeah. recently. And it's one of those things, once you learn how to use the system, there's so much out there. But yeah. I know it can be daunting for people to start. So if that sounds like you and you want to learn how to use some of those apps, how to print, how to use our Wi-Fi, that kind of thing, the first of those sessions is going to be on Thursday, May 1st from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Downtown Library. And there will be three subsequent sessions at different times and locations.
Okay.
So bring your questions, bring your device. It is first come, first served, and space will be limited because we only have so many computers for folks to use and
gotcha.
So much space. So show up on time for those, but there will be subsequent sessions as well. And then one other program that I wanted to point out to folks, the last creative writing class for adults of the season is going to be on Monday, May 12th, 6 p.m. at the Douglas Library. So Summer Christensen has been putting those on. They've been very popular. It's a free class for adults to develop their skills and explore creativity. And it's been really great having those regular monthly classes. And then there will be a break for summer because summer is a busy time for everybody.
That's right. Awesome. Okay, that's cool. And we have brought Katrina Wolford in today as well. Did we get everything, Jenna? I want to make sure we got all the events.
There's a few other things. I don't have – that was kind of the detailed.
Okay.
But I just wanted to make sure folks know to go to our library calendar and hit print calendar to see all of our library events. And summer reading programs will be up there. So you're going to find things like our Fairy House workshop that's been really popular over the years.
Okay.
We'll have a magic show coming up, make and take story time, and a Rubik's Cube event. So take a look at the calendar.
Wait, the Rubik's Cube event. Is it those same two kids from last time that created the Rubik's Cube competition?
I think it has stemmed from that program. It's become an annual thing.
They were on the show. It was amazing because they just wanted to do this thing, and they did it.
That's
like
great.
The library said, yeah, sure. So they did a whole, and they were like in elementary school or something, maybe middle school. I can't remember,
that's
cool. So, look,
so
be on the lookout.
That is on the calendar as well.
Sweet.
And then we will be closed for Memorial Day. Monday, May 26th, all libraries closed that day. One other thing I wanted to mention real quick is that we have these closed case displays at each of our locations. So as you're coming into the library, there's some display cases. Right now in Douglas and the Valley, there's a theme of it's raining books. So all kinds of books about rain mm-hmm. and rain-related mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. the joy of rain, really fitting for today.
Yeah.
But downtown, for one more week in one of our closed case displays, we have a selection of poetry, original poems by students at the Johnson Youth Center. So our youth services team goes and visits there once every month, and they have a book group. They do other library programs and activities, and so they have shared with us some of their original poems, and
that's
those
cool.
will be on display for the rest of Poetry Month, the month of April. So if you haven't stopped by and read those, they're very powerful and inspiring.
And that is at the downtown?
Downtown Library
downtown,
as you're walking
okay.
into the library.
Great. Excellent. Cool. Katrina, you have some book recommendations for us.
I always do.
Yeah, please. What do we have?
I did not bring the standard beach read that you discussed.
It's not quite summer yet, but...
but it's a good reminder when we're talking about displays that each branch has a new book section.
Okay.
And we're getting books in all the time. And so if novels are your thing, we have lots.
Yeah.
All genres. What I thought I'd do today is remind us of some of our local author favorites
excellent.
As the visitors are coming
yeah.
and some of my favorites. And I thought I'd just remind people of these. And if they have people coming to town, these are also good resources. The first one is The Blue Bear, which I think a lot of people know this book. It is one of – it's a favorite for me. Oh, yes, I guess we can show – things. and one of the things I like about it are the different themes, you know,
mm-hmm.
the friendship, between Lynn Schooler and the photographer Michio mm-hmm. Hoshino. And the natural history, Lynn's ability to write about the natural history of this place is stunning. And we were just talking in the other room. He has this page about the natural history of like Devil's Club. And I remember when I first read this book and I read that page, I like closed it and put it down. It was some of the best nature writing I'd ever read.
Oh, wow.
So there's also some photos in here, and it's just a wonderful book.
It's a fantastic
book. It's so good. And there's history in here about this area. Excuse me. And then another history book about this area is Ernestine Hayes' Juno book, which is which is a lot of photos, and then she has captions to a lot of historical photos.
Oh, yeah,
if you haven't seen it or haven't looked through it, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Are some of those photos from, like, the historical, the museum?
Yeah, a lot of them are older archival photos.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. All of Ernestine's books are fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
You can learn a lot of history, but this is specifically about Juno, a lot of pictures. And
yeah.
Great for your visitors, or even if you've never seen it, it's a good thing to pick up for sure. Absolutely.
And for people who want to explore Mary Lou King's 90-plus short walks.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good one.
And this was updated in 2023. Would you like to hold it up?
I would love to hold it up.
And the reason I love this book so much is, well, I love the illustrations, and I love how she kind of grades the levels in the different hikes.
Yeah.
And there's natural history in it. There's history in here, and I think the first edition was 1988.
Yeah.
You know, so this has been like
it's nice that it was updated,
favorite.
Right? Because because there's different trails that have been added, ones that probably aren't there anymore, things like that.
And
what's great about it is they're 90 minutes or less. So if you have somebody coming to visit and they don't want to do a whole thing, you can hop in here for a short walk in Juno.
Yeah, well, all of the trails are on here, so even the 7-hour ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the number of walks in here. So
oh,
short
it's 90.
Walks,
oh,
but
okay.
It covers all the trails on the whole system.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and people who know of Mary Lou, I mean, she's been instrumental in so much of the trail conservation here and doing so many amazing things.
Cool.
And then, of course, Patsy Ann. And the reason I picked this one up is it's a good reminder about this dog that used to meet the ships who arrived here on a steamship in the 30s. And the illustrations are by Jim Fowler, who's a local artist.
Nice.
And so they're beautiful, as you can see, and the viewers can see. And then there's a historical photo in the very back of the book with some historical information as
well.
Oh,
nice.
You know, kind of.
Oh, look at that cute little puppers.
And these are good books to share with visitors and just to kind of refresh.
And also just remind ourselves, right? If you've forgotten or haven't seen it in a while, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And those are all, how do we, are those in a certain section or do you highlight like Alaska local authors in a section at the library?
We don't have a local authors section, but we do have Alaska sections at each branch.
I see.
And these are going back to the downtown library right now.
But you can place holds at juno.org/library, and we can send books to any location that's easiest for you to pick up.
I love that. Well, next time, Summer Beach Reads.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
next,
sir.
That'll be May, and we'll want to do that. Okay. And Jen Gardner and Katrina Wolford, thank you so much. Juno Public Libraries, all the information we talked about, if you missed any of it, you can always check out the calendar or all of the details at juno.org/library.
And follow us on social media.
And I follow on social medias. Is it just Juno Library or what is it?
Juno Public Libraries on Facebook and on Instagram.
Juno Public Libraries.
Yes, because the Juno Public Library is a library in Wisconsin.
Oh,
our unofficial sister library.
Is that why it's like that? Yeah. I wondered about that. I always say Juno Public Library, but I know it's libraries.
We are three libraries.
You are three. So. That's true. Well, I appreciate you coming today. Gunnith Cheese for being here. Up next, we'll talk with the CBJ Parks and Recreation Department about all the things that they've got going on. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The forest is snow-free on this chilly March day, and hiking off the trail, I spot a beautiful 3-point antler lying on the ground, shed last fall by a Sitka black-tailed deer. I could leave this for mice and porcupines to chew on, providing a little calcium for their diet, but it's very nice, and I tuck it into my pack. Sometimes those chew marks make a shed antler look cool, neat rows of parallel scratches made by those tiny teeth. I'm not a dedicated horn hunter, as many such people describe themselves, although they're actually antler hunters, but I do save shed antlers when I find them. In Alaska, it's legal to keep naturally shed antlers and the bones and skulls of terrestrial animals. I find beaver and porcupine skeletons, and I save the skulls, which are actually pretty similar looking. I picked up mouse and vole skulls out of owl pellets. Although it's usually legal to keep shed antlers and bones, it does depend where you find it. Land ownership is important. It's illegal to take anything out of a national park. So a moose antler shed on the Gustavus Forelands is legal to take, but if it falls off a mile away in Glacier Bay National Park, it has to stay there. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You're also maybe watching us online on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages, where we now show you a behind-the-scenes live stream. Join us on there. You can say hi. You can comment. Even ask a question, although I may not see it. Summer pool employment, a field grand reopening, plus get yourself walking this summer. It's all happening at CBJ Parks and Recreation Department. And joining me now in the studio to tell us more, Tara Patterson, acting deputy director, aquatic manager for Juno Parks and Rec, and also Ellen Johnston. What do you do? What is your official title, Ellen?
I'm the aquatics programming coordinator.
Aquatics programming coordinator. Okay.
So translated, that's swim lessons, summer camps, diving lessons.
Okay.
All right. The fun things the pool does, she's responsible
for.
Oh,
she does. You get to do all the fun stuff.
I bring the fun.
I love that. That's awesome. So I teased these things in the intro there, but summer pool employment, what's going on with that? Who's going to take that
Well,
one?
We have a lot of open lifeguard and swim instructor positions for our summer. Working
okay.
at the pool is a lot of fun. It's a service that does good in the community, and we do provide training for both our lifeguards and our swim instructors. In fact, we have some training classes coming up at the end of this month for our lifeguarding course. That will start on May 27th, and then we have a swim instructor training course that'll start on June 2nd. And the great news is that if you turn in a job application with us, then we pay for all of this Red Cross training.
I remember that from last year, that it was nice. If you get the application, then you can get the training for no cost.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And how many people are you looking for?
We're looking to recruit about 6 people for our swim instructor course.
Mm-hmm.
And we can find things for all 6 people to do this summer.
Yeah. Are they full-time or part-time jobs?
The swim instructor are part-time jobs.
Okay.
However, we do have a number of open full-time lifeguard jobs at both pools.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We are looking for at least 5 lifeguards at each pool for the summer.
Wow.
And
okay.
We have 2 full-time positions at both pools available for a lifeguard and for a head lifeguard.
Oh, awesome.
At each pool. So, and those are benefited positions with, you know, that are year-round.
And just... what kind of experience should you have? I mean, I know you can get the training, but what other kind of experience would you be looking for in the lifeguard?
With the lifeguard, we definitely have a lot of high schoolers who it's their first time working,
mm-hmm.
but we're always looking for people with a little bit of experience in or a background in, you know, first aid or swimming in general. Obviously,
yeah,
being able to swim is important.
That's one of the requirements.
We're happy to train people who have no experience, but, you know, those head lifeguard positions are an opportunity for people who might have previous aquatic experience.
Right. Supervisory a little bit, right?
They are. They are. They're kind of like a building supervisor.
Okay, that's really cool. And when do you have to put the application in to get the training? When is there a deadline for that, Ellen?
So the swim instructor course
completes on June 6th, and we put the application date as June 10th. And that gives people an opportunity to try out what it's like to be a swim instructor and then follow up with that application.
Okay, great. And, of course, you can find all of this information on the CBJ Parks and Rec website, right?
Or junopools.org.
Junopools.org, nice
and
short.
And from there, you can actually register for either of these classes we were talking about under the registration.
Okay.
That's part of our registration. And if you indicate you're planning to work for us, then there's no charge when you register for the class.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
And it's good. The question about when to do it, we do have a deadline, especially with the lifeguard class, to get registered before the class starts because there's a little bit of online coursework.
Right.
So we like to get those a minimum of 7 days in advance. If not, 10's probably better.
And remind me when the lifeguard course starts again.
That is May 26th. Okay. 27th.
So you got a couple weeks, but get your application in if you're thinking about summer employment.
Yes.
Okay. And it goes for the whole summer?
Yeah.
Is it like a four-month gig? How long is that?
Pick your poison. Okay. It can be a year-round part-time job, but we are specifically looking for more people in the summer.
In the summertime.
Yeah,
okay,
so really you can work 2 months or you can work 12 months.
I love it.
Yeah.
Options. So what's this grand reopening all about?
Right. Well, the Adair Kennedy Field has gone through some renovations, actually several million dollars worth of renovations, new turf. We're in the process of doing new electrical lighting for the field. It's a pretty big renovation, extensive. And tomorrow morning, the Little League is doing their opening day. And in conjunction with their opening day, we are doing a ribbon cutting ceremony. So that should be really fun. We're expecting over 400 softball and baseball players and their families, and we're going to be doing a ribbon cutting and also paying a little homage to the two individuals who the field is named after, who were officers who were killed in the line of duty here in Juneau.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this weather.
I got my fingers crossed. The forecast right now looks like we might not get rain in the morning. So that's...
What time is that at?
It starts at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Okay. Yep. So if you're interested in going to the ribbon cutting, that's at 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Adair Kennedy Park. That's really cool. It's glad to see that it's coming back in full swing, right? That's
kind of cool. Yes, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And then we have a couple other... There's one more thing before we get to Walk Southeast, but movie in the park?
Yes,
right.
On Sunday, we have a movie at Treadwell. We're going to be showing Wild Robots.
Ooh, fun.
Doors open at 6 p.m. The movie will start at 6:30. It is free to watch from the bleachers, but regular admission will be charged if skating, and that does include rentals.
Oh, okay. So you can just watch the movie from the bleachers if you want, or if you want. You can skate while you're watching the movie?
Yes, it's visible from the ice. Or if you just want to, like, bring a child to skate and you want to sit in the bleachers and watch, you can do that too. But dress warm because it's cold in there.
It gets cold, yes. Yeah. It's the Treadwell Arena. It's ice on the ground
That's
there.
Right.
That's kind of fun. That's cool. So that's on Sunday, April 27th. Doors open at 6. Movie starts at 6:30. And then the big one, the Walk Southeast.
Yes.
So I know that registration's already started.
It has. I already registered.
Nice. I haven't registered yet, but I will.
But you still have time.
I do have time.
Yeah. So it's a virtual, for people who don't know about it, it's a virtual 297-mile walk from Juneau to Ketchikan. And the cool thing about this isn't just Juneau Parks and Rec that participates in it. We have communities all across Southeast Alaska that participate with us. And at the end of the season, there's like a bragging rights award for the community that has not necessarily the most people who participate, because obviously Juneau has a higher population than most of the other communities, but percentage-wise, the community that has the highest percentage of participation and miles walked compared to people registered. There's a few different things that are factored in there.
And Juneau took it home last summer, didn't they?
Summer before last.
Summer
last
before.
Year, we did not win it. And I I'm not certain. I don't want to say who won last summer. Okay. It wasn't us. And I think I remember who it was, but I don't want to say the wrong
community. No, I understand.
And get in trouble there.
Start a war.
Right. But the cool thing about it, well, there's multiple cool things about it. But if you complete 150 miles of walking over the summer, you're automatically entered to win 2 round trip tickets from Alaska Airlines.
Cool.
So something kind of fun to work towards. We have an app called My Virtual Mission that actually will track your miles for you and show you your checkpoints along the way. And it's kind of fun because it's interactive and it'll show you what community you're tracking towards or that you've finally hit with your miles.
Because the virtual part is that you're taking this 297-mile walk from Juneau to Ketchikan. You're not actually going to Ketchikan.
Correct.
But you are walking. You are actually walking. You're not virtually walking. You're walking.
Right.
Wherever you are in your life. You can be on a treadmill or correct. Around your neighborhood or whatever that activity is that you do. I just want to make that clear for folks.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. That's an important thing to note. You know, if you're somebody who likes to go on hikes over the summer or if you just like to stay inside on your treadmill and do that while you're watching TV, you can participate. The point is you want to walk enough miles to virtually get yourself from Juneau to Ketchikan.
Yes, because I can virtually walk in my mind a long way.
Right,
but
right.
To actually walk is a whole different thing. But that's kind of fun. That's really cool. And you have until May 7th to register.
Right. You can register at walksoutheast.org.
Love it.
And one thing I will point out, because I am not a tech-savvy kind of person, is we offer help registering and getting in yourself onto the app, which I have to take advantage of every year. And we have a kickoff event at Twin Lakes on May 4th from 1 to 2:30. You can just come and we'll have staff there to help you get into your My Virtual Mission app and get all set up and make sure that you're tracking and it's reporting to the contest.
Yeah, it can be a little tricky.
I mean, most people don't have a problem with it, but those of us who didn't grow up with cell phones, I'm going to date myself and say, yeah, I struggle.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciative of that help.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's on May 4th.
Correct.
From 1 to 2:30 p.m. And the registration ends on May 7th. So that's a good thing. It's just a couple days before that. You go over to walksoutheast.org to get all of the information on it and figure out how you can participate. It's a really fun event. It's a really great way to see people. You get together with friends, take a walk, do all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
That's cool. And, of course, you can find out information about all the events we talked about at juno.org/parkstackrecreation or go to junopools.org for more information on the swim classes and the lifeguard jobs and lessons, actually, and all that good stuff. And, of course, Juno Parks Rec on Facebook. Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you both being here today and giving us the rundown, everything going on at CBJ Parks and Rec. They're reopening tomorrow for the Adair Kennedy Field at 10 o'clock, the movie in the park on Sunday. It's Wild Robots, and you can skate at the same time. That's kind of cool. Okay, thank you for coming. Good to the cheese for being here. Ellen and Tara from CBJ Parks and Rec.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at KTOO.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh, have a great weekend!